That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
The only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's Taking It Personally. So excited to have return guest, AG guest co-host, someone who just heard me on the phone with my doctors talking about some complicated things. I said I need just a minute to call back and confuse a receptionist with my entire medical history. Listen, welcome back to Tip, one of my fave Bravoholic writers whose credits include Vulture, Vogue, The Cut, and the LA Times, among others. My heart will not go on without recording this episode. Tom Smythe. Tom Smith Smythe, how are we?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, we went through a lot this week, not just in our 700-hour episode that we just recorded talking about all things New Jersey. And I just have to say, not to say a couple more things about New Jersey, but it says something that I feel like we more than scratched the surface, but there was a lot more that we could have discussed.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It was a rich text.
It was a rich text. Yeah. Like, I feel like I myself have been in such a weird spot with New Jersey that it's like one bad episode can really truly spoil the bunch right now in a way that doesn't necessarily affect other franchises. Mm-hmm. But we had a solid episode to discuss. Like, I feel like I could talk about Jackie for hours.
Yeah. And it's just so full that there's so many different directions you can kind of tackle it from. So,
100%. Endless. Yeah, endless. But listen, our heart does need to go on in talking about just a moment in history and society and culture that we bore witness to this week. We went to the world premiere of I Am Celine Dion, a documentary film that will premiere on Prime Video today, the day that you guys are hearing this episode. If that day is June 25th, if it's not a different day, then
good news.
Movie's available. So we were so fortunate to be in the room where it happened. The first people, I guess, outside the film and I don't know, Prime Marketing and probably some other folks to see the piece. So I'm so excited that we can deep dive it now. I have so many questions for you. First off, where does Celine, where does she exist for you in terms of iconic singers, just people in pop culture? Like, what's your relationship with Celine Dion? With and to?
I would say probably, for lack of a better term, somewhat more peripherally, in the sense that it's more so the hits, of course.
Yeah.
My growing up, I feel like for many, it might be via their parents in terms of many my age. Like, I feel like that might be the relationship.
Deep cut.
But my mom was not. My mom was like a Springsteen. My mom was like, that was the musical like language of the car. So it was more so via like soundtracks, obviously, the hits.
Do we have CDs at this point in time? Had we moved on from
those?
CDs? Okay, great.
No. Cassettes, even. Oh, cassettes.
Wow.
But yeah, so it wasn't like an easy, like those car rides weren't like easy listening car rides so much. But I mean, she is an inescapable presence. She's monoculture. She is, you know, everything everywhere. So it's like,
she's everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody has that innate connection, I think, and to the music and to the character of her as like a pop culture staple. She is such a unique person. She's such a unique interview subject, all of that. So she is someone who, you know, I think everybody to whatever degree has some connection to.
I grew up in the Oprah generation. And by Oprah generation, I mean finding out about her on TikTok because I'm quite young. But I remember my association with Celine is obviously all things Titanic/Titanic. And her hits, as you said, but it's also remembering she was like one of the most, she had guested on Oprah more than I think almost anyone else throughout Oprah's history. And I remember when she was like the Vegas episode right after the twins were born. And like, it was a Barbara Walters film over the camera. Everything was like really soft and calm. And she had had so many incredible moments, and she is such a character and personality. Yeah. Celine Dion is one of those people who I think is genuinely universally beloved, where it's like you may or may not listen to her music, but you know her music. And I do think her talent is respected. I think that people know she has an incredible voice and a presence. But to me, I don't think this is just because I feel that way. I think she genuinely is like incredibly popular, and popular for good reason, that she sings well, but she seems good. You know, she seems like a solid, funny, smart, quick, kind person, which I genuinely believe is her.
Totally. And simultaneously grounded and way up in the sky.
100%.
Like zany, cuckoo, crazy, yet also, especially in watching the documentary, so just grounded and real as a person, first and foremost.
I honestly, to a certain extent, take her talent for granted because I'm so used to just like loving her for who she is.
Yeah.
And at the risk of like minimizing her talent, I wouldn't want her to feel bad. I hope she knows that like I know that her voice is so central to who she is, how she identifies and how she's worked and like literally walked across this world. But people love her for who she is. Her voice is a part of it, but it's not the whole part of her.
Yeah.
And I think because of this new chapter that she's in, this incredibly challenging time in her life, I'm sure there is, as we saw, just the mourning and despair and upset about losing this part of herself and how she communicates. But she communicates in so many other ways, which is made clear in this film. So we went to see I Am Celine Dion, which is, again, out on Prime Video, directed by Irene Taylor. And I don't know about you, but premieres, you know, so thankful to that we were invited and able to be there. I don't know what a premiere looks like. Like, is it going to be like the fancy pants thing? Is it not? We were told at Lincoln Center. I don't know what that's going to be. I was also running ungodly late because I was throwing dresses in the clawfish in a state of absolute chaos and panic, being like, what will work? What will fit? What will get me out of the door onto the train? So I walked in and I was like, okay, Lincoln Center, but I don't know what this is going to look like. And it was, we were getting a little fancy pants to bro.
Oh, yeah. It is interesting. Like you said, you never know what, and they all could look so different, too. Like every premiere is like a totally different vibe, totally different dress code, totally different people. So you do sort of go in and you're like, well, this could be anything. And it was like a mix. What was great about this one, though, was that there's the fancy pants Dubrow. But this one was very good about seemingly inviting a lot of fans.
Yes.
There's a whole fan section. There was a line around the corner of like fans. I think there was like a mezzanine in that theater.
Yeah, I saw that in a photo.
Yes. And I think that was surely filled with fans. Yep. That very front section was all fans. So, and I mean, everyone's fans, but technically, you know.
Yeah, it's different for like people who are covering it.
And, yeah. I mean, they were starting sing-alongs while we were waiting for it to start. It was a very boisterous, fun crowd for something that easily could be boring and stuffy and industry-ish, you know?
Yeah. There was definitely a lot of heart and warmth in the room. And it was a big fucking room.
Yeah.
So I walk in, I'm like running in late, like tripping all over myself and falling all over people, living my best life. And I see a step and repeat. Like, and fans were there. I saw fans watching the step and repeat, which I thought was an interesting choice. Yeah, there was
like a cordon off
section. What was that about?
I imagine they were trying to get autographs.
But like the fact that they were, and I mean this quite literally, allowed to be there, because usually a step and repeat is like completely sectioned off. Yeah, it felt like there was like sectioned off for the press and the people who were on the step and repeat.
Yeah.
It felt like the fact that fans were there, because they could have been like shooed into the room, you know, like the fact that they were there, I was like, oh, I'm into, like it felt fan forward. It felt like we wanted to make sure that the fans had access, which I loved, because that's not, that's to me unique.
Totally. And I think that's, it was such a good fit. Because
you're in the space. It's not like you're out in public. You're already inside of Lincoln Center.
Yeah. And there's a designated space on the step and repeat for all fans with their Sharpies and such. But it felt perfect for this premiere specifically, especially because of the fans are such a character in this film, an unseen character in this film and in her life, and her making this, I believe, a one of her first appearances like this as of recent, and to get up and talk to the crowd, so important that the crowd she was talking to were the fans that clearly is one of the most important relationships in her life that we get to see via the film. So it just felt like a really well done coordinated event in that regard, for sure.
So I'm seeing this happen on repeat, but I'm like hustling to get into to get into our seats. So I start to think, and I'm like, do I even say this out loud? Do I even say, do I like put this out into the universe? Will I be disappointed in some way, God forbid? But I start thinking, is it possible that Celine Dion might cameo? Because I'm thinking this would be the place. Once I realized it really was the world premiere, because that really didn't click for me until way too late in the game.
Yeah, it's always, they call it a million different things. It's like, oh, special screening or special thing. It's, and you're like, what is, and then it's like, oh, New York premiere, in LA premiere, this, Paris. That. Impossible to know what you're going to get.
Quite literally was the world premiere, which we realized sort of after the
We're like looking looking to our left, looking to our right. Be like, hey, what is this?
Oh, okay, got it. Copy that. Copy that. So then you and I are chatting. The light, I think at that point the lights are going down, maybe even a little bit. And was it not you that showed me your phone and there was coverage? It's okay. You're emotional. It's okay. I know. You're emotional.
It's all coming back to me now.
It's all coming back to you now.
Yes. It was because we were like murmur. Is she here? Is she here?
Yeah.
And then the lights were dimming and the director came out, and like that would have been the moment. And so it occurred to me, and some people who were around us were like, oh yeah, definitely. And but still, you don't want to get your hopes or like think that and then and then not. So I was like, wait a minute. Also, oh, somebody saw that I was there, and because I posted on Instagram, and they responded like, oh my God, you're there. And then they said, she looks amazing. And I was like, what do you mean she looks amazing? Like, are you saying? And then so it clicked to me. I was like, oh, like, okay, I could just Google.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I didn't think about it.
I searched on Twitter. I was like, and you know, it was about to start the carpet. The step and repeat was done wrapping and dusted. Yeah. So anything that's going to happen, like, you know, she would have done the step and repeat. So I just searched on Twitter, Celine Dion premiere. And it was right away it came up. She was on the carpet. So she was in the building. We knew right away. And then it was.
And then you showed it to me and I lost my shit.
There was a gasp.
All
the oxygen in the room.
You know when you hear me emote when I am surprised that it's real and it's loud and it's daunting. So then I was just trying not to shit myself because I was like, this is already going to be incredible because the second that the trailer came out, I was like, this movie is literally made for me. Mm-hmm. So, and for, you know, millions of others, but also me. Mm-hmm. So. Almost. To hear that she was there. So then the director is talking, but I'm just like, oh, this is like so incredible. The director's telling you. Mm-hmm. But like also like Celine Dion. So then someone introduces the director. Director's talking. And then I'm like, is this the time? And then she says, and you know, now I'd like to introduce you. And then it was the gasp heard around the world of the entire audience, which I posted on social after, losing their mind because we're like, she's here. Yeah. And then Celine Dion comes out on stage looking like a goddamn angel in like white and cream. Mm-hmm. She's there unbeknownst to us. Her oldest son, Rene Charles, mm-hmm. RC also as well, is mm-hmm. like upstage of her. We didn't know it was him until after she turns to him and thanks him when she's addressing her children. He also gives her a Kleenex at one point. Mm-hmm. She speaks for 9 minutes.
Oh, wow.
The whole thing is on my Instagram because, mm-hmm. you know, I recorded the fuck out of it. And it was incredibly emotional.
Yeah.
There's a point where she mentions a point in the film where she says, can you talk about the apple? Because I'm going to fuck it up.
So she was saying, so before the film started, she was referring to something she says in the film, which is that as she's going through this illness, she feels like she is an apple tree. And she produces these shiny, beautiful apples that people come and line up to get. And as she's gotten sick, she's felt, okay, some of these branches aren't producing apples anymore, but the people are still coming to line up. And she, it was kind of weighing on her that she might not have apples to give to these people. And what does that mean? What does that look like moving forward? And so that's something she expresses in the film. And then when she was introducing it, she recounts that and says she had an interaction with a fan who had seen it, I guess. And they said, "We're not here for the apples. We're here for the tree."
Oh,
and so tears. She got very emotional. And that was so, that was something where I'm like, I feel like that exchange is a key part of the storytelling of the film that didn't make it in the film. So I'm glad we got that moment, because that was so affecting and so impactful. That just, of course, given the nature of how that whole exchange happened, it's not going to make it into the film, but it was such a beautiful epilogue almost, to that sentiment that she expressed.
And, you know, the director, during her remarks, Irene Taylor was talking about the fact that, like, when she was talking to Celine about this, this has been a years long kind of journey. When she was talking to Celine about this, Celine said, "You know, what I would like is if I can be the one to tell my story instead of having a bunch of people telling my story and talking about me, yeah. I would be like to be the one to tell it." And Irene, obviously, her response is like, "Great, this is best case scenario." I wonder, though, because I was talking to someone, shout out Anthony, who we chatted with that night, and was talking to him about the movie after the fact, and just about the idea of not having other people tell her story.
Yeah.
That, like, it's great that Celine is in control of her story, but did we miss out in not having other people talk about Celine, the impact of her diagnosis, and how that has affected her life?
Yeah.
That, like, obviously it's important for Celine, for someone who has, due to her diagnosis, been in a position where she no longer is in control of her body and her instrument. Yeah. That's like trauma on trauma on trauma on trauma. Obviously, Celine should be in control of how her story is told. But did we miss out on not hearing other voices to add some extra layers here? What do you think? Yeah,
I found that so interesting. As soon as the director said that, I kind of went, uh-oh. Because that can go to one of two ways, you know. It, and I was also interested that it wasn't an uh-oh for her. It was, oh, amazing. Because I was like, never in a million years would I as a filmmaker think, especially if you're making kind of a profile on somebody, to have that person, because she kind of framed it as this was the only question she asked, as if it was sort of like a, not a big ask. That's a very big ask, I think, because it's completely, and it's a fair ask, but it is dictating a, everything about what this is going to look like. And it is a fair ask, and it's totally fair that she wants to be the person telling the story. I do think we would have benefited. I think that there are going to be some gaps that you're naturally going to get having only one view of this. You know, it would have been really interesting to hear more about the medicine of it all. It would have been interesting to hear from the doctor that she
shouted
out. Who
was in attendance at the premiere.
Yeah, and she's starting a foundation with.
Incredible. And, in Colorado.
I feel like that would have been really interesting to actually hear about how this unseen illness was diagnosed, because that in and of itself is such an interesting story. In addition to how she's handling it, like, that process seems very interesting. It would have been interesting to learn more about it because it's so rare. I think that there are also people that could have been helpful in, I mean, listen, the documentary had an enormous task. It had to do so much. This is a person with a 40-year career. It had to kind of lay that groundwork, and set that up, and then deal with the illness and deal with the performance of it all. I could see some talking heads here and there being helpful in succinctly giving context to that career, giving context to her impact. And instead of that, I feel like it took some interesting, it tried to achieve that same purpose in more unconventional, interesting ways. Not that it was, you know, a terrible, terrible loss. It just had to kind of go about it in a different way. I'm curious what you thought about the kind of there were several clips of her on late night shows that were inserted kind of siloed throughout. Like, there was a clip of her on Fallon, there was a clip of her doing something on James Corden, and it didn't feel particularly connected to what was happening around it in the film.
So there was that one moment where she is, was it on the Tonight Show with Fallon? So I can't, when I say that, Tonight Show and Fallon, it like feels like that shouldn't exist, but maybe a different show. But when she was on the Tonight Show with Fallon, with Jimothy Fallon, that was the Sia clip, right? Where she's like
playing of Celebrity Impressions or something.
Wheel of Celebrity Impressions. I think because during that time in the movie, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was talking about the fact that she was trying to like disguise, or they were trying to figure out what to do because her voice was changing. Obviously, she was dealing with some sort of medical situation that people didn't understand. There was a point in that clip where she was singing and she kind of, her voice, I don't think achieved. She was trying to sort of spin something going around in her voice. It felt like her voice was caught at a moment. So I don't know if that was the show being like, this is an example of her performing and having this bright moment where she's funny and she's showing off her voice and she's talented, but there's also something else happening here. I don't know if I'm giving them too much credit in that moment, but that was what I felt in that was like, oh, she's interpreting Sia, but she's also dealing with something vocally. And there's a point where she's, it's not even pitchy, it's like her voice is caught when she's singing and then she's trying to she sort of improvs.
I could see that being the case, because I also, I think my initial interpretation was, because I also caught that the moment you're referring to, and I thought that was I thought that was her Sia impression.
I think she was like
she was like getting there, and it very well could have been. I hope it was an example, just because then it kind of, it makes more sense within the context,
but then we didn't get any context.
We didn't. Yeah, exactly. I wish she would have explained, like, here, like an instance was I was on Fallon and this happened and no one noticed but me. And I think that would have been, if that was what we were trying to achieve there, that would have been helpful, because the clip as it played was kind of just an example of her killing it, because like, you would have to really, really catch that. You would need her to explain. See that very small moment right there? Only I know what's happening there, but it's because the clip continued to play on, and she did a great Sia impression, and the crowd went wild, and everyone lost their mind, and it was great. So it was, I almost felt like those moments throughout were meant to be the peaks, like little peaks of, here's a moment of what she was right before this hit, and she was going on all these shows, like almost reminding us that, like, don't forget she's this larger than life personality. She would be everywhere. She'd do all of these shows, and do all of those things. And it's a tough balancing act to try to simultaneously demonstrate that high of, and like remind us of that high, while at the same time showing where we're at now. So it seemed like it could have just been an attempt to do that. But it was, you know, I still don't know exactly what to make of that.
Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's Fine Hair and Conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's Hair Quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code ANDY at checkout. That's ANDY at HERO.CO.
Yeah, there were moments where it felt like we needed just a little bit more of an explanation here, yeah, of a way to connect, but also deepen. But also we were given the gift of just, it felt like fully Celine. Like we, yes, were given the gift of watching her in private moments. And I don't know about you, I had no understanding of stiff person syndrome, mm-hmm, which is what she was ultimately diagnosed with. It's a rare progressive neurological disorder that causes muscle rigidity and painful spasms. It's also known as stiff man syndrome. So thank you for opening that up to all genders with, yes, stiff person syndrome, genuinely. And it's a rare autoimmune neurological disorder. And it was something I did not know. All I knew when she made that announcement, because I remember watching the video, and we get to see her because the documentary was being filmed during that time, yeah, make the video that we as fans and people of the world saw, mm-hmm, when she's announcing, you know, there's something I need to share with you. This is what I was diagnosed with. This is a little bit more information. I had never heard of stiff
stiff person syndrome. Yeah. I think she said it affects one in a million people. Yeah. She is unfortunately that one in a million. Mm-hmm. And so I just had, just because the name of it was stiff person, I was like, that just sounds so fucking terrifying to me that I was so nervous for her. So going into the movie, I didn't know, like, can she speak in public? Like, the fact that she was on stage, I was like, holy shit. And she's communicating and talking for 10 minutes. That's incredible. I'm honestly so happy for her. But we saw so much of the ins and outs of stiff person syndrome, but just like the day to day of her occupational and physical therapy and what she deals with, and the fact that essentially she cannot sing too high or too low. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like there's a mask over her voice that's like, is it wrong to say it's sort of like choking her a little bit?
Yeah, she was saying it's like trying to sing if you have your fingers pushed down on your vocal cords.
Yeah. Not entirely pleasant.
Yeah.
And so watching and seeing the way that her body, that she cannot move her body at points, and also her wanting to sing. I mean, we see her in the studio at one moment with one of her managers and one of the folks on her team. And they're, you know, she just wants it to be good. And she has so much nerves and anxiety of what success will look like for her. Like, the idea of Celine, she brings with her so much guilt that she's telling us of like, I did this thing for the world. I'm now struggling. People can't know why I'm going on tour. I walk off stage for a quick change and I can't come back, because she was dealing with so much before knowing what this is. And to now see her in a place where she has the benefit of the knowledge, the benefit of the resources, but that's not going to force her body to do something that it is no longer able to do or willing to do. So watching her try to confront that of like, wait, but I'm still Celine. And I feel like I have a responsibility to the world, but also myself. This is, I've followed my voice my whole life. My voice dictated the direction that I would go in. So who am I now and where am I headed without that directional signal is incredibly, incredibly powerful, but it's also, it's like wounding. It felt like the audience, when we were in the room where it happened, felt like the audience was like maybe the most respectful audience that I've ever, especially for the size of it.
Yeah.
Everybody was laser focused on watching this thing because we knew how incredibly vulnerable she was being. It was, I thought, an astounding level of vulnerability. It just was also, I mean, how do you not grieve with her? Because she's still grieving. And it's like, you have to have hope, right? But is hope also going to wound me at a certain point if I can't achieve what I did before? Like, she then says at a later point, you know, maybe I'll try a different form of music if I can't do the music that I'm so used to doing. But will people want that? Will they want to hear from me in this new way? Yeah. It's really fucking deep.
And I think that's what the film as a film did best and handled so well, was A, her own internal thoughts and emotions and feelings going through this, and also showing us, and I think this is so important for her as someone, if she's handling this publicly, I think this was so important to make, to have something that is actually showing in depth what her day-to-day looks like with this. Because with that initial video, like you said, of her saying, oh, she has this, it's just such a rare thing. It sounds terrifying. You don't know what to... Even the quick descriptions of it that we were getting when that first came out, where different publications or different people are trying to explain succinctly what this is, those explanations were drastically different than what we saw and how this actually manifests for her. Because like you said, and she was there, we saw her, there are days that things might appear to be much more normal. She's able to come out, talk to us, do all of that. There are kind of those in-between things, impacts of it, like with her voice, like certain tenseness. And then there are full-blown, the worst of the worst of it, which the documentary shows, and it's brutal to watch, but so important for the documentary to show, both as to make it an effective film, but also an effective way of telling her story. It shows her having one of these episodes to seemingly the highest, the worst it can be, essentially, where her entire body stiffens up, and
she's essentially, I don't know if she's in the middle of having a seizure, but she's right before it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's remarkable to see.
Seems like she's having a seizure.
Yes. And it's like the perception was she is trapped within her own body. I described it as claustrophobic because it felt like, it was just really remarkable to see and really powerful to see. And I do think that was the film at its best, was demonstrating, pulling the curtain back on her day to day as she goes through that, for sure.
And how contradictory against her spirit is this disorder, because she essentially, her body punishes her. It goes into some state of like shock almost when she's overstimulated.
Yeah.
So she's telling us how much she misses the crowd. She misses the audience. She misses being a part of this huge, vast community. She misses being able to deliver in that way. Then she goes into what is made into a studio space and is singing. Mm-hmm. It sounds beautiful. You know, as a fan, just listening to her, she's trying to process, I'm not like hitting this point at this point.
Yeah.
And her body becomes so overstimulated because of the joy and mm-hmm. the high she's getting from performing that she goes into an episode. And I'm thinking to myself, well, holy shit, she talks earlier in the movie about the fact that she was on so much goddamn Valium, trying to just essentially like calm her body down.
Yeah.
And now you're telling her that the reason she's having this episode is because she's overstimulated. Well, how's she ever going to sing again?
It's a catch 22.
It's where a total catch 22.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the thing that she wants to deliver, the one thing she wants to do for other people and also for herself, to return to herself, is to follow her voice.
Mm-hmm.
But her voice, her body is not able to follow. Her body is telling her, don't follow your voice.
Yeah.
If you follow your voice, bad things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that to someone? How do you do that to someone who is given this gift that millions and millions of people do not have? Like, Celine cherished her voice. Celine talks about the fact that she didn't do what other, maybe some pop singers would do, of like going out partying, smoking, whatever. She mm-hmm. was practiced, she was conservative, she sacrificed so that she could retain her voice in as pure a form as she possibly could have.
Yeah.
And now you're telling her all this work that she's done so that she can deliver, so the reward she can get of receiving those feelings and emotions, that those feelings and emotions are going to turn her body against her, is like, well, then how is she supposed to live?
Yeah.
You're telling her the life that she's fighting to have is being counteracted by her body's response. She has this episode in the movie. I thought I was having a full blown, I was like mm-hmm. at beginning days of having a panic attack in watching it, because it is so intense. It's like she's having a seizure.
Yeah.
She looks like she's having a seizure. And I'm sorry to the folks in medicine if I'm using the word seizure incorrectly.
It was used when that was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They said she was seizing.
And so she has the therapist with her.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously,
thank God,
he knows exactly, because she's had this happen, God forbid, how many times before. He knows what to do with her head. She's frozen. He's speaking to her in a way that's really fucking calm, of like, you're going to be okay. Another member of the team comes in who also, I don't know who that person was.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are two people by the door. Then her manager, everybody's
and the
kind
camera
of
crew.
And the camera crew. The therapist does ask at one point, do you want the cameras to leave? She's not able to communicate. He's telling her she's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. They're like checking her levels. If she gets to a certain point or she doesn't, her body doesn't respond to like nasal intervention with whatever they're spraying into her nose, that they will call 911. And then at a point when she's physically able to, she starts to cry. The therapist is trying to tell her to calm down. You're watching Celine Dion like morph into, it was terrifying to watch. Like, I genuinely was like trying to, I was like poking my, shout out to me, I'm growing out my nails. Oh my God, what an accomplishment. I was trying to put my nail into my hand to like stop myself from crying, because I was like, do not have a breakdown. But
Just the fact that you were here and I had to take a break in between recording to talk to doctors about a procedure that is really not complicated that my body does not respond to well. It's just the irony of this is like kind of not funny to me, but like I remember, you know, when I felt like I was having a stroke and I ended up being in the ICU for 4 days, like I remember that point when my body started shutting down. I was on the phone with 911. I couldn't physically move. They were asking me if I could open the door. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand up. And I was like trapped in my body. And I remember the one thing I was trying to say to myself was like, if you're about to die, just like stay calm, because the worst case situation is if you can't communicate with whatever time you have left being conscious, you just need to keep it together. So I was able to like physically open the door and the emergency people came in. One of them told me their name and it was the name of a guy I just dated and it didn't end well. And I threw up on myself right after, which I felt like was more of a reaction to the name than the hyponatremia. But but I just remember that moment. It's like embedded in my DNA because unfortunately I've had several episodes of like stay calm, but like you're no longer in control of your body. So just like listen to it. It's the thing that they tell people if you have a disability at any age or if you're like older, that the most important thing is to like learn how to fall, because you can do so much damage if you don't know how to fall well. And so I'm just like watching this movie and I'm like, this is too close for me. Like, not that I am in any way comparing my condition, which we're in yet another round of maybe changes to diagnosis, but like not that I'm comparing it in any way to stiff person syndrome, but to say that there are many people who live with invisible illnesses all over the place who will potentially be triggered by this film, but I highly recommend watching it because who understand that feeling of like everything seems fine. You're doing this thing that maybe you love to do and then your body has a reaction to it. I went for a walk on a hot day and almost died. Like it doesn't, it won't make sense to people. It might not make sense to your body, but it's important to discuss.
Yeah.
And I had no idea about invisible chronic illnesses until I got sick. I really didn't understand the day to day. I really, really didn't get it. And so I'm watching Celine and I'm like, oh God, Celine, I understand. I'm just like watching her in this moment, but I'm also thinking, carrying my own baggage to it. Because I'm watching, I'm like, am I watching Celine about to die right now? I know she's not dead.
Thank God she introduced it.
Thank God she introduced it. That was key. But I'm also thinking to myself, and I think we had this conversation after, I was like, wait a second. She's telling us that being overstimulated is going to cause a negative reaction to her body. She just introduced the world premiere of her film to like bajillions of people at Lincoln Center.
After doing a step and repeat,
her body could not be feeling more adrenaline right now. Like, I genuinely hope she's okay. How does she navigate promoting this film, which requires so much overstimulation?
Yeah. And it felt like the thing where you're good until you're not.
Yeah.
So, and you never know when that's going to hit. That's what it felt like from the film. So that was something where I was like, that just must be a constant fear, constant presence in the back of your mind. Yeah. Okay, I'm okay right now. I'm doing the carb. I'm doing this. But you never know. And it's just, and something in talking about the invisible illness of it all and that those final moments of it, something, of course, this is specifically about Celine, but something I was thinking about was, and thankfully it's rare, but still there are other people without Celine Dion's resources and people with any invisible illness, but this specifically, imagine trying to go about getting a diagnosis on this, for as hard as that was for her to figure out, okay, well, what is this thing, to somebody without those resources to deal, get treatment without the resources she has, which, because thankfully, I mean, she has every doctor she could possibly want or need. She has every therapist she could possibly, she can attack this from the highest level and still is in this position. So I can only imagine any other patient. It just was something that came to mind in watching it, because it's like, well, if we're watching, this is the best case scenario, the best care imaginable for this, and it is still so daunting and brutal to watch, it just came into my head where I was like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, I'm 7 years in and I have taken literal years off where I'm like, can't see a doctor this year, gotta let a year go by, because it just, it becomes traumatizing. Yeah. And if you have one bad doctor, they can do years of harm. I had a really, really, really bad neurologist at Northwell, at Northwell Neurology, that has done so much more harm that followed prior bad doctors.
And what's his first and last?
His name is Derek Chong. He's the vice chair of neurology at Northwell Neurology. I would highly recommend you never see him. It was a, I've had other doctors who were like, you should file a formal grievance. You should, this was bad. What happened to you was bad. And that's great. Like, the, when I hear other doctors who are like, yeah, that was bad treatment, I'm like, thank you. Thank you for validating it. If you deal with anything that's unexplainable, I have a very complicated situation that, you know, it's just a complicated situation with my nervous system and neuro stuff. And what's the other fucking thing that I have? Whatever. Other shit. Kidney stuff. It's hard when there's not an easy answer, because you're told by people, including loved ones, that are like, you're fine. You know, I don't see anything wrong with you. I think you're either overreacting or like, it's fine. This is not that complicated. And then doctors are like, it's not that complicated, but I don't have an answer for you. And then to just go through that process, a lot of people go through it. There's a lot of stuff that is not given the benefit of research or resources or attention.
Yeah. And for women specifically.
Especially for women. Yeah. And you can see that with a variety of disorders, where you'll go on these like data, on these like fucking conversation discussion threads, and people are just trying to share resources, and the organizations are like, we're just trying to do the best we can with like zero, with like $1.50 in a dream, you know, like it can be really tough. So to see what Celine is going through, and she has seemingly 24/7 care. No, she always
has, if she wants it, she can.
If she wants it, she has it. And what I thought was really important was what the director said before the film. Mm-hmm. So it's not a part of the film. Is that she's had people working with her for 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, she's had people who are devoted to her, who love her, who are a part of her family for literal decades. That is the best case scenario a person could have, because there are so many people who do not have the benefit of that, who don't have that kind of support, whose, you know, symptoms aren't respected or believed. Mm-hmm. She is in a position in which to seek care, and the fact that she is struggling in the ways that she is, she's obviously improved a lot. We see that throughout the film.
Yeah.
But it is also just, it's wounding, because it's just like, I just want her to be well.
Yeah.
I just want her to be well. And I don't know if the symptoms of her illness and her disorder, I don't know how that is going to impact obvious growth that we have seen.
Yeah. Like, what is the end game?
Right.
Right. Like, what does that look like? That's something that maybe a doctor talking head.
Right.
I would have been interested.
Her doctor.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, on the carpet, she was teasing a Vegas residency.
Was she?
Yeah, she did. Did she say
soon? Because she said to us, I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, she was sort of teasing. And then there's this one clip that was going around where someone brought it up, like, oh, the rumors of the Vegas thing. And she was like, she's sort of kind of she was very receptive to it, to the point where she was like yep, and you're gonna be front row and I'm gonna be in front of you, and then she's saying a little to him on the carpet,
shut up.
Yeah, she's I don't remember what song it was.
Was it All Coming Back to
No, it was a deep cut, and it was referencing so she was like, right in front of you, right in front of you, as she was going away. So it was like, this is the peak of what we've seen from her, because it was like she was basically teasing this residency that's been rumored, I believe, and then drop some bars too.
Okay, so I want her to be doing whatever she wants.
Yes. But
my gut instinct to that is like, I'm nervous
terrified
for her.
Yeah, having watched the documentary, there's some, that's the thing where I'm like,
can
okay,
we have
there
one
are
person
some
in the audience
gaps
at a time. Yeah,
yes.
But actually, even a person, because your body's still gonna be overstimulated with performing.
Yeah.
Because I started thinking to myself, because I was like troubleshooting in my head while watching the film, like, how can we help Celine. So then I'm like, what if she did like Zoom concerts where she's like performing at home where you don't have to deal with the crowds of people because that can affect your adrenaline. But I think just performing, when she had that leading up to the episode, she had two people in the room with her. It was the fact that she was delivering her gift. It was the act itself. I just like,
is there a workaround?
Is there a workaround? And also, on top of all this shit, she's a mom to three kids. Mm-hmm. We didn't really see her oldest son in the movie.
Yeah.
She seems to have an incredible relationship with all three of her boys. Mm-hmm. And again, her oldest son was there slightly upstage of her while she was delivering remarks. At one point when she started to cry, he like very sweetly handed her a Kleenex, and she made a joke that like, oh, this was, you know, this is New York. This is like a New York issue. But we watch her interacting. She still has to parent her kids.
Yeah.
And like what her kids have seen and experienced, it seems like she has raised three lovely, kind boys, now becoming essentially young men. Her twins, I think, are they in high school? How old are they?
That seemed to tween-ish, be the case. Yeah, early high school.
So they're like gaming and they're like crazy, seemingly fancy, expensive, like their little gaming center. They're living it the fuck up, as well they should.
Yeah.
And so she's just coming in and like joking and like having fun with them. But also we have no idea because, you know, while at one of the first times I think we saw the kids was when they were learning how to like handle the cameras, that the documentary crew was like helping them and, you know, having them ask their mom a question. And I just think like, you know, what's their reality like? We didn't get any talking heads with them. We had scenes of Celine interacting with her twins, but we're not, and maybe nor should we have them on camera talking about this. Maybe that would be unfair to them, inappropriate for them to be seen in that scale. Maybe that's not their responsibility to carry the burden of sharing their feelings with us. Maybe we don't deserve to receive it. It's just, it is a complicated level here that she has young kids. I think high schoolers as young children, and as I am, as you know, very young, as a member of that community of high schoolers plus, which is...
You guys should see the gaming system she has here.
Yeah, I love games. I love Duck Hunt and the mushroom people and stuff. I love it.
So many.
I love a game. I love what's it, not TikTok, what's the fucking thing? They go on something with a T. Where they play their games on the internet. What's that?
Oh, Twitch.
Yeah, I love. Is that what it is? Yeah, I love Twitching. Twitching is my favorite thing
to do. The Andrew Girls Twitch channel popping off.
Yeah.
Like love. And subscribe.
Oh my God. Like and subscribe immediately. I just kind of wonder for them. It's that thing of like, I wonder, I would like to hear from them, but also like, I don't want them to be in a position to have to speak to us.
Yeah. I almost feel like the documentary tried to kind of strike this middle ground with this request that she had to be the only one kind of speaking about it. So I almost think it would have been better served if they went one of two ways, which either incorporate talking heads from doctors and people in her life and people she works with and all of that to paint a fuller picture and fill in some of those gaps that, you know, we're curious about because we didn't really get to hear about, or go the fully the other way and go full cinema verite and be fully fly on the wall kind of watching that, because so much of it was that.
Yeah.
But then we tried to kind of, they tried to supplement that with those clips of, you know, her on the talk shows, her past performances, trying to contextualize things. Like, I feel like it also could have been served if they just kind of chose, I were either all in or all out, all one, all the other, in how they did it. Because the middle stuff was where it got a little shakier.
I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it. So there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy.
With Roe, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to roe.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's roe.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Roe-affiliated healthcare provider. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important. And so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code AndysGirls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code AndysGirls. It's good as gold.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Something that I think, in addition to what we said earlier about what it did really well and showing her day-to-day in the health side of things, another huge highlight for me was the more lighthearted day-to-day stuff.
Yes.
Which I think, honestly, in an ideal world where she's top of her health, I would eat this up if it was just her putzing around the house.
Oh my God.
Because that was so entertaining. It was
dead
so
for it.
Funny.
Dead.
Just watching her go through her Sharpies, go through, vacuum the couch, shoot a video for like to send to someone. Like all of those little things, just her personality is so eccentric and funny and just to behold.
Vibrant. That,
yes. We'd watch her read the phone book. We'd watch her dry paint. Like, anything. And some of the funniest thing, like, that stood out to me in this, of course, heavy film, there were some really light moments that I want to shout out, a couple of which were her just kind of singing the Kit Kat jingle out of the blue, because yes. I think someone said something about give me a break, and so naturally she burst right into song of the Kit Kat jingle, which is very much her Gelking interview where she sings peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly. Like, that's classic Celine. And then another personal favorite was, and this wasn't even really her, but it was her physical therapist saying, while they were working together, he just said the sentence, "Have you ever seen the episode of Friends with Phoebe?" And I could have fallen out of my chair. I was like, he stopped the sentence there and I said, could it be true? Is that really the end of the sentence? And it was. And I lived for
he
it.
He got into the smelly cat.
He did. He got there.
But there was a but dramatic that was the pause.
Sentence. That was the sentence. And then he ultimately explained.
That one episode that Phoebe was on.
Yeah, you know the Phoebe episode of Friends? That was so funny. That's like a joke. I wish I wrote that joke.
Yeah.
Because it's such a good. And it happened in real life. And ultimately what he was getting at was he was explaining that there's the episode of Friends with Phoebe where she gets sick and really likes her how her voice sounds when she's sick and has a cold. And Celine Dion, having never seen an episode of Friends, clearly, says, "I love her." But she says, "I love her. I don't know her, but I love her because..." And she explained that she, too, likes that raspy voice.
Sultry, and, lived in, yeah.
Yeah, and so that actually led to the conversation about how she never smoked because she was preserving her voice. So she never kind of went that raspy route. But so there were you can't go wrong with just an organic interaction with her and seeing that as a fly on the wall. It's going
to
be.
That's why I loved, again, shout out to Oprah. I loved when Celine was on Oprah and we got like a little bit of a peek into her life, including when she was but when she was in studio with Oprah on the couch and they were like, goddamn, shooting the shit. And, you know, we're in the Clophis. I have a shoe or two or 70. And so when she's talking about the fact that she goes into this monologue that I will clip the fuck out of when I don't know if they've released that in advance yet, but there's this monologue that she delivers incredibly impassioned. You could hear it at the UN of like her talking about the fact that she does not have a shoe size. Her shoe her foot will acclimate to whatever shoe is on her. She goes to a shoe store. The salesperson says, "What size are you?" She says, "That's not the question. The question is like, what do you have available? I'm a 6 to 10. Yeah. And she's like showing through her hands, like the ways that her toes would be splayed to try it. And I'm thinking about a fucking pair of Manolos that I got at the press sale. Cause I'm like, I got a size too big. I listened to the wrong people. I went down the wrong path. And so I was like going to sell it. But then I'm like, but they're too big. And I know they're too big, but I could technically make it work. Like I felt for her. I felt for that specific pair of Manolo Blahnik. Yeah. She gives us a tour of her warehouse.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
With all of her costumes. She's going to leave at one point and she says, "Oh, I guess I must have liked that dress because I bought it 4 times.
Yeah,
I have
there four of them there." So
just the throwaway lines.
Yeah.
But then you balance that with her talking to the gentleman that she was with. I don't know if he was her driver, somebody on her team. And she goes like, she says something along the lines of like, "Oh, my legs are tired." Like she's leaving the building and it's like, you know,
that was an ordeal.
Yeah, she performed for us.
Yeah.
She is a performer to her core. She has a way of, her humor is present. She has a way of delivering a line that is just so fucking rock solid. Mm-hmm. And there is a cost to that.
Totally.
You know, and she's letting us in. It's a throwaway line that I think was incredibly important that we heard because it's like, yeah, we had this lovely little tour with Celine, not little, this lovely huge tour with Celine. She's giving us some insight into the costuming and the ways that decisions were made on tour to keep her physicality comfortable. And, you know, they're taking off sleeves here. They're putting this thing. She's so detailed and granular. It's fascinating to watch. And also that there was a cost to her body for doing that.
And I think some of those moments, I could see people viewing them as sort of digressions, but I think that her long, long-winded like rant, like going on about a very specific costume adjustment and how they did the sleeve one way so that it could go, she just kept going and going and going. And you're like, from a filmmaking standpoint, what is this in service of? It's so interesting to watch, obviously, but in the film. And ultimately, I think those moments they were brilliant characterization. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Celine, we know her, but like in the film, watching the passion in her eye and like the diligence and the detail orientation of it, in really anything we saw her doing was so meticulous. It was really great characterization, that even the moments where you're like, wait, why are we here? Like, why are we talking about this right now? Or it feels a little all over the place. It felt in service of like building up. It was very representative of who she seems to be as a person, which I thought was great. There was one, speaking of those great lines and great moments, I actually don't remember. This might have been from like the home video of her about to go into labor, I think. There was old home video.
Yeah.
And there was such a fun, it was like she was getting ready to go. Actually, I have a couple things about that video because it was so fascinating to watch. But as she's getting ready to go, she is searching for a pair of flats.
Mm.
And she's standing basically in a closet of her own.
Mm.
This massive closet with floor to like, not just ceiling, but like double ceiling, like shoes.
Walls behind walls.
And walls are moving. It's like motorized. It's going. And you see her standing in front of this. It's like a wide shot on home video. And she just says, I have nothing to wear.
But she's, I get it.
She's right. Yeah, yeah. But it's so.
Try finding a pair of flats if you're as a heel
Celine
girl.
Dion. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. But, and it's very true. But it, there was also something, there's just such humor to that real moment. Mm-hmm. Like she wasn't trying to be funny, but just the shot of it was so like great filmmaking, even though the filmmaking was like a home video from however long ago. And another thing on there that was again so like cinematic was after she gave birth, the cameraman, who I assume was actually I think Renee was for some of it, but then it pivoted this shot in particular. It was the television in the hospital room, and it was
Because Renee was holding
footage.
The baby.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And it was news footage, and it said the chyron was Dion delivers, and it was old, you know, B-roll of her on a red carpet. And so it was the news reporting on the fact that she had the twins, and then was it the...
I think it was the older
son. Oh, it must have been the older... Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then the camera goes from that, and it goes down to Renee holding the baby. And it was such just like a beautiful encapsulation of how weird that is, and encapsulation of like the stardom versus the groundedness of just this is her life.
This is a woman who had a baby, and now it's on the news.
It's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you watch a documentary and something will either happen or they'll get some footage and you just kind of put yourself in the filmmaker's shoes and you're like, oh, they must have been living that day. They must have been so, as a filmmaker, through the moon. Mm-hmm. And I feel like looking at that home video, they must have just been like, oh, this is so good for the movie.
Yeah.
Because it is. It was just such, so cool to see and so impactful, I thought.
Did you were you surprised that Renee wasn't discussed more? I mean, he's obviously the through line of her life. Like, you can feel that. But what were your thoughts on how Renee was spoken of? Or
it definitely was something where I feel like her life is so large that the documentary had an impossible task to try to cover as much of it. And that's why I kind of was like, I wish they didn't try or worry so much about covering it all, because if you're trying to cover it all, you only get, you know, you're doing a million things halfway instead of focusing on one thing wholly and completely and maximizing, like, we're just going to focus on this moment in her life, or we're just going to focus on, you know, her health battle right now, versus trying to contextualize with, you know, saying, oh, she's the superstar. Mm-hmm. This is her performing. This is her as a mom. This is her as her early life growing up, they tried to touch on. So it's a million things that you have to touch on, including Renee. And I think you're kind of in trying to hit it all. It can set yourself up to not hit all of them in a fully satisfying way, because it's just too much. So, I mean, there could have been an entire documentary just about her and Renee. There could have been an entire documentary just about her as a mom. There could have been an entire documentary just about her career.
Mm.
Most singers, this documentary for them is that. It is just about their career. Like the Shania Twain documentary, like something like that. That's what we more often see with this. But this had to be, or they decided it would be more encompassing because of the, it's obviously going to center on the health stuff, but then the decision was made that, okay, let's try to catch everybody up to contextualize it. Mm-hmm. When I think they could, I think Celine Dion's big enough that they could have worried less about contextualizing. There could have been, you know, you're entering with a pre-established knowledge.
I don't disagree, but I also love those moments.
Same.
Because I was like, oh my God, I forgot. You know, like, totally. I know Celine Dion. I know she's a superstar. Obviously, I'm a person in this world. But like, when I'm watching all these different concert clips, it's just been a minute. Like I told you before, I was pre-gaming, watching, going to the premiere by like listening to the best of Celine. And it just, there was a, obviously there's a lot there to unpack, but just to see her performing, the power of her performing, all the different outfits, the different, these huge places where she was just killing it, fucking killing the game. Yeah. I mean, it was, I liked that. I did. Totally. I just felt like it shouldn't come at the risk of something else. Stopping for 1 second because I have a doctor calling. This is a day in the life. You guys, and we're back. Just had to take a quick call. This is the fun. I've had two calls today with doctor people, and that's not the last of it. This is what it looks like to have a chronic condition. A day in the life. So wait, what were we talking about?
Basically, I was sort of thinking it felt like the movie was trying to be two movies at once, where it had to be that movie that you were saying you love seeing all of the retrospective stuff and the like all in one place. I do feel like there's such a, I love that kind of movie, that kind of documentary about an artist, especially, you know, toward later in their career down the line, getting to look back at like, wow, they're actually, you know, this was this massive impact and it contextualizes it in a great way. So it was trying to be or had to be that documentary and also the health journey documentary. There's just so much to cover. And I think that was its big mountain to climb. I mean, it almost, this could have been like a limited series, like a docu-series, because there's just so much in addition to the health journey that it could have potentially covered and covered in great depth if they so chose.
I actually wondered why it wasn't a limited series. But then I thought to myself, because there is this ongoing thing that exists with when people think of TV versus film. I mean, she might have thought, and understandably so, they might have thought as a team that like this is a move, this is a documentary film. I wonder though if it had been a series, like maybe even three episodes, like it doesn't need to be super long, nor maybe should it, just to kind of get more into the nitty-gritty, if she would have, if the story would have been better served.
Yeah. Because it could have, and I wonder if there was ever any conversation even about about that and looking what they kind of had after filming and it coming together.
I don't know why my instinct tells me maybe not, that it wasn't a conversation.
Yeah.
But I also think there is, to a certain extent, a little bit of a prejudice against any kind of docuseries. But I mean, not to compare the two, J-Lo did one for Netflix. But then I also think of Lady Gaga's documentary film.
Yeah.
It was film. Yeah, film, which covered her, you know, before, pre-Star is Born, prepping for the Super Bowl, dealing with a chronic condition.
Yeah.
With, was it fibromyalgia?
I believe so. Yeah. 5'2"
Yeah. So she had, and she had focuses on personal stuff going, the end of her engagement, how to talk about it, everything that followed. I also think, just in terms of, we're not, this isn't apples to apples being of apples, but like Katy Perry, when she was filming hers, hers was much more of a concert film, but she was also in the middle of it, you know, getting a divorce. And so she had moments of quiet. That certainly the better comparison is Gaga to Celine. But still, Celine is on, is just, the scale is just much different and much larger. And I just, because of a lack of understanding and knowledge and insight into the specifics with stiff person syndrome, I was so delighted and like overjoyed and thrilled to see her on stage and speaking and communicating. Because I just don't think that anything related to Celine and forward movement and presence and being present should be minimized.
And it can't be said of enough. I think she's just one of those people that so many cherish. Mm-hmm. And like, I think of like Titanic era, but I also think of Oprah era. I just think of who she is, the doors she's opened into her life for us. Certainly, obviously, a level of privacy that she had prior to all of this happening that she's trying to figure out now. Mm-hmm. It's good to see that she seems to be surrounded by people who really care for her, that she has a lot of trust in, because this could go in a totally different direction without that.
Yeah, totally. And I feel so, I'm grateful and happy for her that this documentary exists, because yes. I think this is something that so much misconception could exist mm-hmm. about. And I think this is such an important thing to have to yeah. document and explain and have people understand the reality in as complete a way as possible, because it is something so much more nuanced than that original announcement video and mm-hmm. reception of could ever encapsulate. So I feel like for her own benefit moving forward and trying to figure out how is she going to navigate her career under the circumstances, it is so key that her fans and the public have such an in-depth understanding of those circumstances. I think that that's hugely beneficial.
So, you know, hopefully she's able to perform in some way if that's something that she decides to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, she's surrounded by a medical team that's obviously looking out for her as well, and trying to keep her well, keep her consistent and stable. And you know, if she has a performance and maybe something happens, God forbid, like knock on desk, nothing does, but like if she needs to cancel it, if she needs yeah. to maybe duck out a little early, that people understand that there's something greater than much, much greater than all of us that's happening right now. And I think fans have a lot of respect for her and a lot of care for her. And what was so tough to watch her essentially mourn the fact that she had to keep this quiet for so long and felt yeah. like she was failing people and in a way failing herself. And I just hope that whatever she is able to do, that she decides to do, because it's still an active choice that she's making, certainly, mm-hmm. That she's just like surrounded with a lot of love. Like yeah. we're not getting into this like fucking Karen territory of like screaming, because like you mm-hmm. only heard, you know, six songs and not 12. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just yeah. like hope that people really kind of focus. There's a bigger for all of our parasocial whatever relationships mm-hmm. that we have with Celine. I think everybody has one in some way, or many people do, that there is also an understanding there's some other stuff going on. And mm-hmm. She put a lot of trust into us as viewers yeah. in showing this and like opening the door. It's, you know, I talk a little bit about like other, I just current recent superstar Sharon yada yada. This is a totally different level, and I thought it was incredibly impactful and really, really profound. And I don't know that I've ever been of recent so terrified watching a documentary about a performer just dealing with anything or just any kind of celebrity. Mm. Watching that scene of her having an episode, I was literally terrified.
Yeah.
And I mean, the first scene, did the movie not start with 911 being called and like emergency, you know, like paramedics arriving and trying to help her? And I mean, she's really gone through it and yeah. has opened a door to us. I think some of the critique can come in like how the story maybe could have been better supported. But I think it's a story that obviously is deserving to be told, and that I'm so thankful exists, because yeah. I just have, you know, I think we've all, unrelated to how much of a super fan you are, we've all just, you know, many of us have just really thought of Celine, and mm-hmm. I'm thankful that she is still here and that she's, you know, figuring stuff out.
Yeah, definitely.
Life is not always kind, but she's figuring it out. Mm-hmm. You know, you can never accuse her of not being grounded, and mm-hmm. she couldn't be more grounded right now.
Yeah.
Listen, Tom Smith Smythe, we've recorded for 17 hours today. I've taken multiple breaks. So thank you for your patience with that. And your favorite Celine song?
Oh.
Right?
That's impossible. I don't think that's fair.
It's, I'm going to mess up the title.
Great.
But it's the one, I almost don't want to say if I can't even name the title because it's, I know the title. I'm just blanking. It's like one of the actual, like the hits.
Okay.
But the, Is it All Coming Back to Me Now? I think it's it's the one that starts with the
There Were Nights when the
Yes,
that's literally what I was pulling up.
Oh, perfect.
I love It's All Coming Back to Me Now. Also, I mean, All By Myself is a classic.
Bridget Jones.
Yeah. I'm Alive Because You Loved Me. Obviously Titanic. I was telling you before the screening when I was listening to the like Celine Dion Essentials on Apple Music, Tell Him, I kept listening to over and over again, her duet with Barbara. Yeah. Just fucking killed it. Just killed it.
Yeah.
It's like, just, you know, this isn't like going to like the club, like, you know, the way that, you know, Cher would be.
Yeah.
You know, like,
although
this is...
there is a remix of I'm Alive that was going viral on TikTok.
Oh, see, these are the things I miss.
And it's on Spotify. Oh, okay. So I'm sure it's anywhere, but that sort of had a fun moment recently. That was
okay,
a good one too. But
okay. Well, I'll Google TikTok and how to get on Spotify. No, shout out Spotify. Yeah, there are just so many. I mean, I'm really, really, really so thankful that we were there. Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to watch her 9-minute long convo with us before the film started, you can see that on my Instagram at Dame Galley. And it's, you know, she's emotional. She cries. Mm-hmm. We cry. It's son gives her a Kleenex. It's like, it's really, she's getting there. She's moving through life. And mm-hmm. what more can you ask of someone, especially someone who's given us an awful lot? Tom Smith Smythe. What's your Instagram? Where can people follow you? Where can they read your work? What are we working on? Mention it all.
I can be found at Tom_Smythe_ on Twitter and Instagram. And anything I have going on is there.
Love it. I'm into it. I've read so many of your pieces. There was a piece I was reading. Where was it? Was it Vulture? It was New York or something. And I started to laugh and I was like, this has to be Tom. And I scrolled up. It was Tom.
The Megan McCain.
It was Megan McCain. It is a delightful analysis of dear old Meg that made me chuckle. And I was like, Tom's behind this. So I could not more highly recommend following him on social and reading his work. I say about him in front of him. And listen, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Join the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. I love doing a little tip. I love when we like dip in and out of the Bravo Housewives universe into some other stuff that we like to take personally.
There's so much more out there. Who would have thought?
Truly. And on a scale of 1 to 100, how uncomfortable were you when I broke down talking about my little fun little Perry seizure moment?
Oh, not at all. I'm right
you
at
weren't?
Home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're totally fine. I would have been more uncomfortable if it happened during our New Jersey talk. That would have been a little more out of left field.
Can you imagine if
just
I was like
completely. Although I almost broke down when we were talking about the possibility of Dolores getting fired.
God forbid. God forbid.
Exactly.
Don't put that into the universe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will also say, as we are wrapping up, that something that I have struggled with as a podcaster or someone who did have a little bit of a seizure moment a couple years ago is that it's hard for me sometimes to communicate. And I've talked about this on social, but I haven't really got into it on the pod of recent. But it's hard for me to communicate sometimes because I miss words, I slip phrases, and I also lose my train of thought in a way that is chronic or specific or whatever you'd like to say. So I get messages from people of like, oh, you know, you said this thing, but you meant something else, or I think you're using this word incorrectly. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I would recommend to people is just like my 2 shekels, because it's always meant with love, which I appreciate, but it is also very triggering for someone who is a writer girl, someone who takes words with a lot of usually specificity. If you hear someone tripping up words, this is something that I wouldn't know except to have experienced it. Sometimes just kind of let it go, because the downside to that could be if there's someone who's had a brain episode like I have, it's a reminder that I'm a different Sarah than I was before ICU stuff. And I actually talked about it with one of my doctors recently, because I was like, motherfucker, like when I'm saying I want to talk about a triangle, I'm talking about the color purple. So like, and I mean the literal color, because I have not yet seen the newest movie. But I, you know, when is that going to come back? And he was like,
used a word I will not repeat, but said essentially your brain had a little damage, shall we say. And so sometimes, you know, I'm thankful to be here, thankful to be alive, but it's tough when you're podcasting. And I know that there are a lot of people who experience a lot of other symptoms or traits of whatever illness or situation they've been through. So just and people have the right to different opinions. I would just ask that if you know, to have a little bit of a little grace and a little wink when I fuck up things, or if, you know, X doesn't lead to Y, because I'm doing a lot of paddling underneath to try to make it all work. So.
See, I don't make sense. I have no excuse whatsoever.
You know what?
So don't DM me about it either.
Let me give you a little water electrolyte imbalance issue and some brain kidney stuff, and we will see each other properly.
It's like a donkey kick where it reverses it for me. And it's like, oh my God, suddenly my eyes are uncrossed. Like, I actually can formulate a sentence.
Well, it is also chicken and the egg, because I don't think I was ever like spot on with shit. It's just more pronounced. This might be a thing that people are like, yeah, no, you've never been 100%.
There's nothing more humbling about my insistence on losing a sentence halfway through than holding a microphone.
Oh, every day of my life.
I just completely will drift off, and I can get away with it in real life more than if there's a microphone, because then I'm like, oh, I'm legally obligated to finish this sentence.
So imagine that, but then also forgetting what words mean. And I host a podcast that involves words where I'm supposed to be communicating things. It happens. I don't want to like scare people, but it happens pretty consistently that I'm like, I don't remember specific phrases or sometimes the definition of words. Like it's like a word will in a moment won't exist, where I'm like, and it's basic things too, which is wild when you think of the fact that I can still remember what Teresa Judice had for breakfast 16 years ago.
Oh, true.
But I won't remember how to like a specific tree, you know?
The things I will remember on my deathbed instead of my family members is going to be...
Oh, I never knew their names.
No, truly. I'm going to be heading out and I'm going to be like, Nini's girls and gays all white, never forget seafood, so sorry. Like, those will be my last words, but I won't know anything else around me. Like, I know what I'm setting myself up for.
There is something wonderful about the fact that my brain like truly restored, kept permanent. It's a permanent exhibition. Oh, yeah. It's a permanent collection. Anything Bravo Holocaust.
Madison Marie Parks Valletta. Like, it's a vault. Some things aren't going anywhere.
And thank God for small blessings everywhere. Truly. Blessing abounds. So that's just a little my two shekels, and people have the absolute right to change their opinion. I think also when people are trying to like communicate someone or teach something, it's because they don't want that to happen again. Like, oh, you used the word door incorrectly. You meant elevator. This is an elevator's definition. The likelihood is, though, for some of us, a small segment, those are things that can't necessarily be fixed that will continue. So it's just like, if you catch my meaning, great, would appreciate it. And if you don't, I probably didn't make sense to begin with. And that's okay. You know, sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, tree hugger might hear me criticizing Louis, but you didn't actually hear that.
Yes.
You heard something else.
Whatever I said, if it sounds off to you,
if you
just
don't agree with
default
it,
to yeah,
it was
she
a great
means
episode.
My opinion. Yes.
If I have a take you don't agree with, just it was the brain episode.
Exactly. Yeah, that must be that.
Yeah. Can't be just basic math and science. Anyway, listen, on that note, Tom Smith-Smythe, thanks so much for being a part of this day-long recording situation. And to all of you for listening, thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for being a part of this journey. And I will not cry again because I have no more moisture to spare. But I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful to the pod for expanding. Thanks to James LaRosa for coining the term taking it personally, because that is essentially what we do on Andy's Girls and what we do on these expanded episodes is just, you know, finding meaning and sharing it. So I'm thankful to all of you for being a part of this, and regardless of whether or not you agree with an opinion, let's share them now and again. Am I right? On that note, happy whatever the fuck day of the week it is in which you're listening to this, and we will chat with you soon. Bye bye.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.